We began last Wednesday a study on the baptism with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and we're doing an in-depth study on that topic, and we're going to continue on here tonight where we left off last week. Last week, we took some time and went through and I kind of introduced the topic of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we talked about who the Holy Spirit is, the third person of the Trinity. And then we spent a good portion of the message discussing two different points among seven biblical facts about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we will be talking about. And the first two were the fact that every believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from the moment of conversion. And we saw several verses of Scripture that pointed that out. Of course, not every believer has the baptism with the Holy Spirit from the moment of conversion. That is a subsequent experience, and we're going to talk about that as we go on. Then we talked about the fact that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the believer being filled with the Spirit in order to be empowered more greatly for Christian living and Christian service, and we looked at Scriptures that showed that. And so I won't go back over that again. I just wanted to review to that point. So we're, Lord willing, going to cover three points here this evening. All right, in your notes here on the top of your notes, I mentioned the three points that we will cover. These are the next three of the seven. We've covered two of them, as I said. I'll just repeat those two again. We covered and showed from Scripture last week that every true believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from the moment of conversion. And we also showed from Scripture that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the believer being filled with the Spirit in order to be more greatly empowered for Christian living and Christian service. And we will see as we go that one of the points that we will not, well, actually we will talk about here tonight, is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate, distinct experience that happens after conversion. It is not the same as the conversion experience. It is for believers. So the three points we will cover tonight is, number one, under that first bullet there on your notes on page four, one must be born again in order to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We will see that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a beautiful blessing that God offers and tells us that we need in our Christian walk, and every believer can have it. We're going to talk about that, but we need to understand that this is for believers. And if there happens to be someone here that does not know Christ as your personal Savior, that is the most important step you can take. And once you have received Christ into your life as your Savior, then God has many things for you, and one great experience He has for you is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. But the second bullet, we will see from Scripture here tonight that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate and distinct experience from regeneration. It is not the same thing as being born again or being saved. It is after salvation that we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, and perhaps most importantly tonight, we will see in Scripture that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is promised to each and every believer. It's promised to each and every believer. So Roman numeral 5 here, the first point tonight, one must be born again in order to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You have to be a child of God, washed in the blood and through faith in Christ. And a few verses that show that. John 14 and verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit whom He will send. He calls Him the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you, He told His disciples at that time. The point being that He said the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. And for a little side comment here, I might say that when we present the gospel to unbelievers, we're not presenting to them things that they cannot even comprehend and receive, and would make them think that maybe you're a wacko or something. I've known of young Christians in the past that trying to witness to somebody, and they're telling them that once you get saved, you can come into the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I even heard a story of someone saying, I speak in tongues, do you want to hear me? Such, just terrible thing to try to do to win somebody to Christ. They don't understand what that's all about, and you're doing what the Scripture says when Jesus said not to cast our pearls before the swine. The devil is going to try hard enough to steal the gospel from them, because he tries to keep them blinded lest they would see the glorious light of the gospel and be saved, the Bible tells us. Amen. And so we want to, if we have opportunity to share Christ with somebody, we want to stick with sharing Christ, the simple plan of salvation, that they might understand that and embrace that, and the Holy Spirit would have something to work with in their hearts. Amen. So a person must be born again in order to receive the Holy Spirit, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. John 7:37, Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So, of course, it is for believers. Mark 2 and verse 22, Jesus taught a little parable in which he said, no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. Now, he used there some symbolism that they would have understood, the storing of wine in wineskins. And wine is simply not necessarily an alcoholic wine, but could simply be grape juice. But the point being that when they stored them in these wineskins, when you had new wine, you didn't put it in an old wineskin that had wine in it before, now had dried out, and you pour new wine in that old wineskin, and it's going to tear, and you lose the wine. And so he uses this as an illustration. And from Scripture, we find out that new wine represents the Holy Spirit. And he is saying that God does not put his Holy Spirit, his presence, into an unredeemed, unregenerated individual. He first makes them a new container, if you will, a new vessel. And then he puts his precious Holy Spirit in that new life. If any man be in Christ, they are a new creation. Amen? Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 tells us the natural man, which means the unredeemed person, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So he tells us the unregenerated or unredeemed person does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Roman numeral 6 here, the next point, is the fact that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate and distinct experience from regeneration, and it occurs subsequent to conversion. Okay, so it is not something, there are people that teach that the moment that you receive Christ as your Savior, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is no second experience of the baptism with the Spirit. However, the Bible does not support that teaching. Now, where they're confusing things is because they don't understand the distinction between the fact that God dwells in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the moment you are converted and you have the indwelling of the Spirit. They don't understand also many times that by Christ you are baptized into, or by the Holy Spirit you are baptized into Christ, meaning you become one with Christ. And thirdly, they don't understand this, that there is a second experience that is explained in Scripture and exemplified in Scripture of the baptism with the Holy Spirit that always comes after one is converted. And they don't see that distinction between the indwelling of the Spirit and this infilling and empowering with the Spirit to give you power for Christian service and living beyond what you've had before. And we should really understand this, by the way, and we'll be talking about this more, but just because someone is baptized in the Holy Spirit doesn't mean now they just automatically live in victory, right? You've entered into a new open door for more of what God has for you, and you've been filled with the Spirit, but you've got to live filled with the Spirit. We'll see later on in another class here, or lesson or message, whatever you want to call it, but you'll see later on that the initial physical evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. We'll see that later in Scripture. But you'll also see that the evidence of a Spirit-filled life is living holy, amen, being fruitful unto God. And you've got to go on from any experience you have with God and go deeper and grow and live for the Lord and so forth. So it's not like somehow the baptism with the Holy Spirit just solves everything and now you're made in the shade or something, okay? That's not the case. But we're looking at the fact that the baptism in the Spirit is a separate and distinct experience from regeneration. If you would turn in your Bible with me to Acts chapter 8. Every time that someone is baptized with the Holy Spirit in Scripture, all through the book of Acts, it always happens after conversion as a separate and distinct experience. And Acts chapter 8 here, you may remember that Philip had gone down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to that city. And with one accord, the entire city turned to Christ. We find out later that the disciples which were at Jerusalem, the apostles, the 12 apostles in Jerusalem, got word that the city of Samaria had received Christ. And here's how they responded to that. If you look with me at verse 12. Or let's skip down actually to verse 14, Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now here we see a whole city that we're told in the previous verses, verse 12, they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women. Here's an entire community, an entire city that turned to Christ. You talk about a move of God and a revival that took place there. And Philip baptizes them. And then word gets to Jerusalem that the city of Samaria has received Christ. The people there are saved. And they immediately dispatch two very important apostles, Peter and John, with one job in mind. We want to lead these new believers into the baptism with the Holy Spirit. As yet, the Holy Spirit has not fallen upon them. They have not received the baptism with the Spirit. And so Peter and John travel many miles. It's halfway across the country, pretty much. Not quite, but almost, to the center of Israel, to the city of Samaria, in order to pray for these men and women that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it says they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So we see there that clearly the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a separate and distinct experience from their salvation experience. And we see that it was a very important thing. It seemed that Philip perhaps did not have a ministry to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but Peter and John did. And so these apostles were sent many miles to go and pray for them. Now, of course, if the baptism with the Holy Spirit was automatic upon conversion, there'd be no need to pray for anyone to receive the Holy Spirit. But that was not the case, and it was the case that they laid hands on them. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, you may remember reading in the book of Acts in this chapter of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later changed his name to Paul and becomes the great apostle Paul. He got saved on the road to Damascus. And after his salvation experience, because he had seen the glory of God shining from heaven, this glorious light that had shined, he had been blinded by the presence of God. And so they led him by the hand into the city. And he was there 3 days praying when God sent a man named Ananias to pray for him. And so I'm reading in verse 17 of Acts 9. And God has spoken to Ananias, and it says in verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So Ananias came for two purposes, laying his hands on Paul. One was that his sight would be restored, and number two, 3 days after his conversion, that he might receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? It was about 6 weeks after my conversion when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in a little tent in Newport, Vermont. And I had been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't really know what it was. I knew it had something to do with God filling your life, and you would speak in tongues when it happened. That's about all I knew. I had been reading the scriptures about it, directed by another Christian, actually my uncle, to read those. And I'd been praying and asking God to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I was working at Fidelli's grocery store in Newport, Vermont. And I left work there at closing time, 9 o'clock, something like that, in the evening. It was probably, I got saved in August, so it was probably September, late September. And I had hitchhiked to work that day because my mother's car wasn't available, and so I was hitchhiking home. There was an older lady that worked there, and I asked her if I could catch a ride with her part of the way home. She said she was only going a mile or two, but she would take me that far, and that would at least cut off a little bit of walking and hitchhiking distance. So I rode with her, and we rode through Gardner Park in Newport, Vermont, or near Gardner Park, not right down the center of it. But when we rode through that area, I saw a big tent set up that was unusual. In fact, I used to work for that park the summer before, and I knew that was not a normal thing to see there. So I began to ask her about this tent. Look at this big tent set up in the park. What's that all about? I believe in tent revivals, by the way. How about you? Amen? We're going to have one in September, God willing. But anyway, I saw that tent, and I asked her about it, and she says, oh, it's some kind of religious thing or something. I don't know. You know, like, you know, this is ridiculous. And my ears perked up. And I thought, wow, that sounds like something I might be interested in. I'm a new Christian, and, you know, they're having services there under a tent. I want to go see what's going on. And so I kept thinking about that. We drove about a mile past it, and then she was turning, and I was going to go on and hitchhike. But I just felt like, you know, I want to go back to that tent. And I have to say, I felt kind of a, didn't know the voice of God or anything, but I felt kind of an urge to go back to that tent. And so I thought about it for a minute and decided to head back to the tent. And I had to walk about 3/4 of a mile, maybe. Maybe it wasn't quite a mile. Somewhere between that and a mile. But had to walk back. And so I started walking quickly. I knew it was getting later at night now. And I didn't know how long this religious service would be going on, as she called it. And so I started walking fast. And I found the closer I got to that tent, the more I felt this compulsion that was not of me, this desire to get there. And so I started walking faster and faster. And finally, you know, I got to a point where I broke into a run. I'm a 19-year-old young man in good shape. And so I began to run toward the tent. And when I entered the tent door, I was running because I just felt something. Of course, I didn't really understand it at the time, but it was the Holy Spirit just drawing me into that tent. And so I broke into a run. And as I said, the closer I got to that tent, the more I felt like I wanted to get there. And as I'm running up to the entrance of the tent, I thought, wouldn't it be something if tonight was the night I got baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because I'm like, why am I doing this? I mean, why am I feeling this way? And there must be a reason. So I stopped running when I got to the door of the tent. Thank God I didn't come running in. And walked in with my lunchbox and started to head for a seat. And when I came in, there was not a large group there. Probably about half of what we have here tonight. Maybe as many, or maybe three quarters of what we have here tonight, but very small group. And there were half a dozen or more people up at the altar, and the evangelist was up there. And I walked in, the first words I heard that stood in my mind when I walked in that tent was, if there's anybody else seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we want you to come now before we begin to pray. And I couldn't believe my ears, and so I set my lunchbox down. And I shook hands with the guy who had picked me up hitchhiking about 8 weeks before and shared the gospel with me and didn't know that I had come to Christ. And he was surprised to see me and shook my hand. And I went up to that altar. I didn't know anybody but him in that whole place. And they prayed for me. And I spoke a few syllables in tongues that night. Later, when I left there, I went into the phone booth. Now, some of you don't know what a phone booth is, but before we had cell phones, we had phone booths. They were not the kind you crank the handle on, okay? I'm not that old. But I went into the phone booth to call my dad because I knew he'd be wondering, here it is 10 o'clock now, you know, why I wasn't home from work, was everything okay? And I called him and told him I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there in that phone booth, I knelt and began to pray and just begin just speaking in tongues and worshiping God. And man, I just felt like I was on cloud nine. It was just such a beautiful feeling. And God was baptizing me and just filling me up now. I hadn't spoke freely in tongues in the tent, but now I was speaking freely in tongues and really just enjoying the presence of the Lord. And when I hitchhiked home that night, the first thing I noticed that had happened in my life is this. I had been terrified to try to share the gospel with a stranger or somebody I didn't know very, very well before that night. I could not bring myself to do it. But I found that when these guys picked me up hitchhiking that I had gone to high school with, and I knew I would have been terrified to tell them about Jesus, I found it just flowed out of me. And they asked me, what have you been doing? I said, well, I was just in a tent, and I got to tell you what's been going on in my life. I gave my life to Jesus Christ and just began to talk. And I thought, wow, I can't believe how freely I'm talking to them about Christ, because I knew that just before this had happened, I couldn't have done it. And you see, the Holy Spirit had already begun to put just a slight anointing in my life because he had filled me and empowered me for Christian service. And my timidity to sharing the gospel was now gone. And you can see that I'm not very timid now. Amen? But God is good. Alrighty, well, let's get back to our notes here. And I'd like you to turn with me to Acts chapter 19 as we're seeing the fact that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a separate and distinct experience that happens after conversion. Acts chapter 19 and verse 2. We'll begin to read at verse 1, actually. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. I don't know about you, but I get God bumps when I read that. Amen? When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Tongues are foreign languages, or languages of angels, or languages of that may have been maybe languages that are no longer used anymore, but it's always a language or languages that you have never learned and never spoken before, and the Holy Spirit is giving you the utterance to speak that, and it is the evidence. The first time it happens in your life, it is the initial physical evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And we will study that in great detail either next week or the week after. But they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. So they not only got baptized in the Holy Spirit, they began to operate in spiritual gifts, prophesying right there that day. Now, this text, the standard argument of those who do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit as something that happens after conversion, their standard argument about this scripture is this. They say that when Paul said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" they say the word "since" should have been translated "when." And so they say that he was just asking them, you know, if you've believed, then you've already received the Holy Spirit. So did that happen when you were converted? And the whole point is silly. And from what I can tell, the word can be translated "since" or "when," and it can, you know, be used in some different ways. But here's the point that makes that a moot point. It doesn't even matter. They were converted here. Okay, they were disciples, but they didn't know that Christ had come and had died on the cross and risen again. They had been baptized only in John's baptism, looking for the coming Messiah. And Paul informs them that the Messiah has come, and that baptism was just to prepare you for his coming, that you would believe on Jesus Christ. So when they heard that, they'd already believed to, you know, what John had preached. Now they believe what Paul has preached, and they turn their lives over to Christ, and they are water baptized, okay? So Paul would not have water baptized them if they were not believers. And they then get out of the water, and after now they have been converted and they followed the Lord into water baptism, they then have hands laid on them by Paul in order to receive the Holy Ghost. And this would not have been the case if the baptism with the Holy Spirit is automatic upon conversion. There would be no need to lay hands on them for them to receive the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? Is that pretty simple and pretty clear? And so this argument over whether that should be since or when is a moot point. It doesn't matter, because we know that after they were baptized and they had to be saved to be baptized, after that had happened, then hands were laid on them for them to receive the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's the big question, isn't it? And obviously Paul thought it was important for them to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Therefore he asked them. Amen. And of course, they had only been baptized in John's baptism. They hadn't even heard of the Holy Spirit, but they heard today. And they didn't know very much, but they received the Holy Ghost when hands were laid on them. Can you say amen? All right. Good stuff, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Anybody say amen? And so Acts 19:6 says, "When Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and they also prophesied." And of course, we'll see later that it's saying they spake with tongues. Obviously, all of them spoke in tongues. But let's go on here now. And this is a very important point, especially for those of you who are saved and you love the Lord and you're seeking more of God and you have not yet received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I made clear to you last week, you are no less of a Christian than I am or any other believer is. You're not somehow inferior. You're not less of a believer. You don't get more saved because you speak in tongues. You're either saved or you're not. It doesn't mean you love the Lord any less than someone who has the baptism with the Holy Spirit or anything of the sort. What it does mean is that God has something more for your life. And it is an open door into the realm of the Spirit that you have yet to experience. And God wants to give this something to you, the infilling, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. He wants to immerse you in the Spirit. Remember the illustration of the cucumber versus the pickle last week? God wants to pickle you in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? And we need, and those of us who have received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, we need to be baptized anew and afresh. Amen? We need to be pickled in the Holy Ghost water that comes down. Can you say amen? Full to where the Holy Spirit is filling every fiber of our being. Think about the difference it makes. And you know, when you're in the Spirit, when you're filled up with God, isn't it so much easier to ignore sin and temptation? Isn't it so much easier to share the gospel with somebody? Isn't it so much easier to be sweet when somebody's being nasty? Amen? Because it's the power of God in us. And we need to live filled with the power of God. Amen? In the person of the Holy Spirit. So let's look on here a little bit, and I want you to know that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to God's Word, is promised to each and every believer. There are some who say, I believe in tongues, but I just believe it's one of many gifts, and He gives different gifts. What they don't recognize, which is something we will study later on here in one of these lessons, what they don't recognize is that there are two manifestations of speaking in tongues. One is the gift of the Spirit of speaking in tongues, which is to be followed by an interpretation. And not everybody is going to have that manifestation of tongues in their life. But the other manifestation of tongues that we're speaking about tonight is the initial physical evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And God has that for every single believer. It is the evidence of the baptism with the Spirit. And again, we haven't covered that point in detail in Scripture, but I will show you that, God willing, next week or the week after. And so you just have to hold your little horses till we get to that, right? But I want you to see tonight. And listen, you know, you don't even have to really worry about speaking. You don't have to worry about anything. But you don't have to be thinking about speaking in tongues. You're not really seeking to speak in tongues. You're seeking for the Holy Spirit to infuse you and fill you. And when He does, you will speak in tongues. Amen. And so you're not seeking the evidence, you're speaking the experience. The evidence follows, right? You don't have to make evidence happen. You don't have to. Evidence is there when something is there, right? If I just walk down this church with muddy shoes on my feet, the evidence of the fact that I walked down the corridor with muddy shoes is going to be left behind. There will be mud on the carpet, and Sister Linda will be on me like ugly on an ape. No, I'm kidding. But the evidence will be left behind, right? And the same thing with God filling you to overflowing with His Spirit. You're seeking God's infusion in your life, and the evidence will be automatic, as it is laid out in Scripture. But I want you to see that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is promised to each and every believer. First, we look in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the first time that believers were baptized with the Holy Spirit, 10 days after the ascension of Christ, 50 days after His crucifixion and resurrection, right? Or 50 days after His resurrection, and 10 days after His ascension into heaven. And He had told the disciples when He ascended what He had been telling them before in His earthly ministry and so forth. I want you to wait in Jerusalem. You're going to take the gospel in all corners of the earth, but I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so as He left, they went and gathered enough in an upper room. There are 120 believers gathered together there for 10 days. Fasting, praying, preparing their hearts before God, awaiting the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit to be poured out in their lives. And Acts chapter 2 tells us that they were all in one accord in one place when suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues, like as of fire, came and sat upon each of them. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It wasn't that some of them were filled. All 120 believers here were looking for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and all 120 believers were baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Nobody left out. Amen? In Acts chapter 2 later, in verse 16, Peter stands up to preach. There are those, this outpouring of the Spirit began to spill out into the streets. They are getting filled up with God. They are speaking in other tongues. They wind up, leaving this upper room, and they're out in the streets worshiping and speaking in tongues. And Jerusalem is packed full of people celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. They don't know that this Old Testament feast was the day that God would fill believers with the Holy Ghost after Christ has come. And so there are people who have traveled from foreign countries, all Jews who have traveled that had been carried away. Their ancestors had been carried away into foreign countries. They all spoke different languages. They all probably also spoke Greek, because that was the common language then. And many of them probably spoke Aramaic, which was the language of the Jewish people. But they heard these men speaking the wonderful works of God in the foreign tongues that they spoke in those countries. And they begin to marvel at this and wonder, what is this that's happening? And some people said, oh, there's just a bunch of drunk men. Peter stood up and said, these are not drunken as you have supposed, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But he went on and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he begins to quote Joel. And he says, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Pinch yourself. Are you flesh? Your flesh. God said, I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. And this is that. These 120 being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is that which Joel spoke of, in which he said, all flesh will receive this blessing of the Spirit of God being poured upon them. That includes you. Can you say amen? As Peter went on and preached Jesus Christ to them, crucified and risen from the dead, and actually pinned the blame for that crucifixion upon them and told them about this, and they were brought under conviction. They said, what should we do? And he told them in Acts 2 and verse 38, it says, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And he went on and said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized that your sins may be remitted, and then you also can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That which Joel said was for all flesh, that which all of us 120 just got, you can have it too. Can you say amen? And he said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This call is the call to salvation. Peter just proclaimed the baptism with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues to be for all believers, to you, your children, all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord calls to salvation. If they will repent and be baptized for the remission of their sin, they will also receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, I preached a message one time in which I said, it is for you, because Paul said, it is for you. Make that personal. The Word of God is personal. God wants to baptize you in His Holy Spirit. God wants to pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Can you say amen? Upon all flesh. Praise God. I wanted you and want you to see that this experience is for every believer. And as we go on through the book of Acts, we see time and time again when believers came to Christ, they were prayed for to receive the Holy Ghost, or they were preached to and the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they spoke in tongues. And this is the pattern that God has laid out, and nowhere did He ever change it. It won't change until we have left this dispensation, right? And we go on, into the kingdom age. There will be no baptism with the Holy Spirit then. That won't be necessary. Amen? But God has not changed, despite what some people want to say. There's no scripture anywhere, read correctly, that says that there has been any change regarding this. God is still pouring out His Spirit upon believers today. He doesn't care what denomination they belong to. Amen. He doesn't care about anything other than that they are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and long for more of Him. And He will baptize you and baptize them with His Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? I was amazed one time when I met a man on a bus in Massachusetts that belonged to a AME church, African Methodist Episcopal Church. And he told me, he said, our church is a Spirit-filled church. Believers are being baptized in the Holy Ghost weekly in that church. And I said, thank you, Jesus. You see, Pentecostal is not a denomination, right? We're a non-denominational church. We're not a part of any denomination whatsoever. Pentecostal is not a denomination. It is an experience. It means that you believe in what happened on the day of Pentecost, that it is for today. And you've either received it or you want to receive it. Amen? There are Baptists who are Pentecostal. Sometimes they call themselves Bapticostal. That's all right. There are Methodists. There are Episcopalians. Amen? That are Pentecostal. That have had the Pentecostal experience. And God is pouring out of His Spirit. This is the time, the Bible calls it the time of the latter rain. And God is pouring out of His Spirit in this church age upon all flesh who will come to Him to receive. Amen? The baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues was not extremely widespread in this country before. And I believe God has always been baptizing believers in His Holy Spirit and giving them this experience. But it was not real widespread in this country before the very early 1900s. There were a group of people that began to take God at His word and believe that what God said here in His word was for them today, and began to set themselves to seek God. And out of that was birthed a revival and an outpouring, a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God. If I'm not mistaken, it actually started in Topeka, Kansas. And then it went and moved to Azusa Street in California. And out of that, there has been a move of the Spirit of God that has continued from that time until this, in which believers, all kind of believers have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. God is pouring out His Spirit in these last days. Can you say amen? And God wants to pour His Spirit in your life. The only other thing on these notes I'd like you to look at, and we'll pick up a couple of these. I have some other general promises, either of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that were spoken before the day of Pentecost. And I'll let you read these on your own for the most part. I'll just pick up a couple of them. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. It's number 3 on page 5. Number 3 there. God says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. God says, not only will I pour my Spirit in your life, I'll pour it upon your children's lives. Can you say amen? I'll pour it upon all flesh. Praise God. If you skip down with me to number 5, Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and needy seek water, you find out that water, even in that previous verse we read, is very clearly symbolic of the Holy Spirit. He said, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in the high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. If you have been in a dry period in your Christian experience, mark it down as over, because you're seeking a new infilling of the Holy Ghost, and God is pouring out of His Spirit, not only in this last day, but I believe God is going to pour out His Spirit in this place. Amen. In a new, fresh way. And I want to see believers that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit baptized anew and afresh, and refueled and refilled, and dry Christians ignited by the power of the Holy Ghost, filled with the water of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I want to see individuals who have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you know all about the Spirit being present in your life and working in your life. And you want more of God's Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you. Amen? You don't have to stay dry. Praise God. John the Baptist foretold the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Under letter B here, John 1 and verse 33, he said, I knew him not, meaning the Messiah, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now, did you notice that God felt that this baptism with the Holy Spirit was important enough that he caused John the Baptist to identify Jesus as the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you something. The same Jesus who has saved your soul wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And for that purpose also he came. And by the same means that everything else God has for you has been provided through the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross, it is by that same means that God has provided for you the baptism with the Holy Spirit and everything else he has. Amen? Nothing would be available to us except through the finished work that Christ did for us on the cross. You say, why do you tell us that, Pastor? Because I want you to know that Christ has already provided what you need. And he has provided for you the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He knows that moment when you're going to be filled. Amen? And he wants you to keep looking, keep lifting up your head and expecting, because one of these moments, it's going to happen. Amen? I knew a young lady that went to Bible college with me. I loved it when I heard her share her testimony of how she was baptized in the Holy Ghost. She was a new Christian and had been, you know, pressing on with God. And in the morning, she would go out jogging. And she was out jogging one day just talking to God. Next thing you know, she began to speak in tongues and praise God in another language as the Holy Ghost filled her while she was out jogging. There happens to be somebody sitting in a pew with us here right now that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was baptized in the Holy Spirit in a restroom. Is that right? Nobody's saying amen. They were in a class in nursing school and had been seeking more of God. I won't give you any names, but their initials are Esther Richards. And if I got something wrong in the story, you correct me, but I think I've heard it enough that I know how it happened. And she was seeking more of God, raised in church, raised to love the Lord, serve the Lord from her youth up. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Don't let the devil tell you you got to go out and experience the world to serve God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. I'm not getting any very loud amens. I said, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. Amen. All right. And so she's in nursing school, hungering for God, began to feel the presence of the Lord, had to slip out of class and go into the restroom. And did you go in the stall and close the door in the stall? You had your own bathroom in nursing school? Okay, it wasn't a public bathroom, it was a private bathroom. That makes a difference. So it wasn't a stall. But you closed the door and you're in there. And what happened? God filled her with the Holy Ghost in a restroom. Amen. Praise God. God will fill you with His Spirit. Amen. And He can do it anytime He wants to. And anywhere He wants to. Praise God. Huh? A motel room. All right. Praise the Lord. When God filled me, you know, or baptized me the first, you know, I mean, there's only one baptism. But when He filled me the first time I was in that tent, later the devil talked me out of what I had. And I wound up seeking God for a new infilling. And the Lord filled me. I mean, He filled me so full. There was no doubt in my mind I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was a second infilling in my life. And I believe Sister Esther probably remembers hearing it. Maybe she doesn't. Do you remember it? They were five or four stories down and actually in another building. The buildings were attached, and they heard me shouting and praising God and speaking in tongues. It had started in the classroom, and in fact, Sister Esther was teaching the chapel service. For 3 weeks, I had been asking God to fill me to where there was no doubt in my mind that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, because the devil had talked me out of the experience. And it just worked me over. You know, the devil's a liar. He doesn't want you to get it. Once you get it, he doesn't want you to know you got it, right? And so for 3 weeks, I had been asking God to fill me anew and afresh to where there was no doubt in my mind. And that day was going to be the day. And I remember that day I had been in prayer and I made a decision of faith in my heart. I said, Lord, I've been up and down with this over the last 3 weeks, but I am making a decision. I am going to believe that you're going to do this until it happens. I'm not going to let the devil just cause me to go on this roller coaster ride of faith anymore. I'm going to believe you until it happens. And so that day in chapel service, or no, it was actually not chapel, it was class. Sister Esther was probably teaching the kings of Israel. And she came into class and she said, today we're going to do something totally different. I'm going to teach on something completely different. And she began to teach on praising God. And she began to go through all these scriptures about praising God. When she got done teaching that class, which was probably an hour-long class, as she went through the Psalms and so forth and all these verses, and the more that she taught on praising God, the more I felt the Holy Ghost welling up inside of me to where I felt like I could hardly contain it. And you know, she maybe didn't know why the Lord had led her to teach something different, but I knew why. And so then She began to ask us to stand up and worship the Lord. And I remember the Holy Ghost was all over me. I wanted to shout so loud. It just was in me. But I held it back because I didn't want to be seen. I didn't want to be out in front of everybody else. Everybody else was praising God at a pretty good level, but it wasn't the way I felt it. And so I just kept down to their level. But I realized I was quenching the Spirit. And so when we dismissed class, I went up to my room and I put my books down and I went in the room next door where we would go to pray. And I went in there and said, Lord, I've been quenching your Spirit in that classroom, but I'm not going to quench your Spirit anymore. I want you to take over and have your way. And I began to praise God the way I felt it, just welling up inside. The Bible said rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. And it was just welling up inside of me so strong. And I begin to shout and I begin to praise God at the top of my voice, just worshiping Him and glorifying Him. And the more I praised Him loudly, the more He turned up the volume and I began to worship Him and praise Him. Next thing you know, I was leaping in that room praising God. And the next thing you know, it went from saying, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, to saying, Sandalo, Shidala, Bukusendala, Mahande, as the Holy Ghost was filling me up. And I want to tell you something. I got filled anew and afresh that day, just filled to overflowing. It had to have been 45 minutes in that room. And like I said, they heard me five stories down and across the hall in the other building there praising God. I remember when I came down to eat later, I felt like I'd been to heaven and I thought I'd never have another trial again. I mean, this has been so glorious. And I came in to eat. And I remember Sister Esther said, Brother John, what got a hold of you? And I said, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, Sister Esther. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you. Amen. The Holy Ghost wants to get a hold of you and fill you to overflowing. I'm going to ask my musicians to come if you would. And we don't have to wait until the end of this teaching of 6 or 8 weeks to pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every time we pray, even if you haven't received it yet, you're that much closer. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man or woman avails much. And it might be your night tonight. Can you say amen? I remember the service back at the other church. I'm pretty sure that I preached that night. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Benjamin, but I'm pretty sure I preached that night on either an infilling of the Holy Spirit or the baptism with the Spirit. I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure I did. Well, I didn't know anything about this, but before Ben and his dad had left for church that night, Sheldon said to Ben, he was praying for him or something, and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," didn't he? And so he came to church that night. It was just the Lord caused him to say that. They come to church that night, and I'm pretty sure I was preaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit that night. And I remember Ben got up out of his seat and come up to the altar, and it wasn't 2 seconds flat, and he was speaking in tongues, filled up with God. Amen? I remember that, Ben. How long ago was that? You were 10. How old are you now? 18. Man, time flies. Amen? Isn't God good? Would you stand with me to your feet and let's praise the Lord? If you're hungry for a new infilling of the Holy Ghost, or you're hungry for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, come on and slip out of your seat and come down around this altar tonight, and we're going to pray for you and believe God to touch your life. Can you say amen? Worship the Lord with me. Worship Him. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord.